Hey, good morning. Welcome to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this show is dedicated to you, anybody who would like to know more about the real estate market here in Rhode Island and the outside, well, the outer banks, the outer areas in Massachusetts and Connecticut. We're covering it every single week. We've got on top-tier professionals in various facets of the market to make sure you're educated and know what's happening out there, right? So good stuff. We've got Paul Salcone of North Point Bank here with us today. And Paul's one of the top loan originators in the region. He knows his stuff, and we're welcoming him on the show today. Paul, welcome back.
Thank you, Emilio, for having me again today. Appreciate it.
Man, always a pleasure. I always get a kick out of your take on what's happening out there. And specifically, you know, if our listeners have seen the news, right, you're finding the sensationalism about every and any topic, really a lot of like, and I'm not going to dive in too much to this area, but a lot of news that's false out there, right? They like to sell advertisements. They like to sell fear. People buy when they're scared, or they do things when they're scared. But part of this show and the benefit about it is our boots are on the ground. We're here. We're local people in the community. We're giving you the timely, balanced truth. So I wanted to talk about the NAR settlement that's in progress. It's the National Association of Realtors settlement that's in progress right now. You see it all over the news about broker commissions, okay? And before we get into this and how it affects the lending, I want to give a quick background ball to the listeners.
Sure.
Which basically, the NAR settlement, if you haven't heard about it, just says that the way real estate brokers have been advertising commissions on MLS simply needs to change. They're not allowed, starting in July, if this settlement is accepted by the Department of Justice, starting in July, they're not allowed to advertise their commission rates that they're paying buyer's agents. In addition to that, buyer's agents also have to offer the ability for the buyer to now compensate them in the event that sellers are no longer compensating buyer's agents. So I hope that wasn't too confusing there. It's kind of all over the place right now. As this thing progresses, we're going to keep our listeners, pointed in and focused on it, and we'll let you know exactly what's happening. But still, as of right now, no settlement has been reached. But Paul, let's say a borrower is coming in and they now have to pay their buyer's agent. Okay. What type of programs are in place, and what are lenders going to do to allow that to happen if that buyer doesn't have cash out of pocket and wants representation?
Sure. That's a great question. It's a loaded question. Obviously something that's something in the forefront of our industry this week. And, you know, I think we'll be going forward. So assuming all this comes to fruition, let's just say the settlement is, you know, agreed upon. There are no concerns. We have this, you know, starting in July, as you mentioned. So from a lending perspective, you know, really you look at it two ways. If the buyer has to pay or compensate their agent themselves, there's really one of two ways they can do this. They can actually pay them out of their own funds, a traditional, you know, check or cash, wherever it may be, something that we can document. Or, you know, we're trying to come up with ways where it can be financed. And with this area, it's a little bit gray because it hasn't been officially approved. But, you know, one thing we've done in the past when we have a situation similar to this is they can first ask the sellers for a closing cost credit. Now, sure. What a closing cost credit, what does that do? Well, I mean, essentially you can say, okay, let's say a purchase price was $420 and you need $10,000 for closing costs. You could say, you know what, I'll offer you $430 with $10,000 back. So the seller nets the same amount, but it allows the buyer to bring less money out of pocket to closing. So that's the first thing we could pretty much could go look into is taking that from a seller closing cost credit. But the one problem with that is there are limitations based on the program. And certain sure. programs, you know, FHA is pretty good. They're 6%, up to 6% of the purchase price is what a seller can actually give them as a concession or a credit. That's okay yeah. because, you know, in most cases, if closing costs are, say, $10,000, and let's just say you pay an agent 3%, you know, on a $400,000 home, 3% would be $12,000 plus the $10,000 for closing costs. Now we're at $22,000. And if the purchase price was $400,000, then 6% is up to $24,000. So that would work in that scenario where, you know, you could have a closing cost credit that would cover that. But where it gets a little bit more, you know, hairy, so to speak, is when you have a conventional buyer. The maximum contribution is 3%. So in that same scenario, the most that a seller could contribute would be $12,000 on a $400,000 purchase. Now, if you have to come up with $10,000 for closing costs, there's $2,000 left over if you have a credit. That's not enough to cover the agent necessarily for their compensation. So what do we do here? And this is what we're talking about right now. One would be, you know, if the government or you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the different, you know, programs, if they would allow us to up that number in that scenario, the percentage that that a seller can contribute. Because I think, you know, to have it just financed, it might be an option. Lenders would have to then figure out a way so that we can comply with what the, you know, the guidelines are. And this is where it's being worked on right now. I do think that eventually, I think all parties will come to an agreement and say, you know what, we're going to allow the seller to give a higher closing cost credit, even beyond the normal guidelines, to sure. make this work. Because I think this is going to be a concern if it doesn't happen this way. Yeah. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Amelia? I mean, obviously appraisals could be affected.
You know, there's a lot of unique circumstances with every single transaction, which, by the way, is only a good thing for real estate agents. If you're listening, if you're a real estate agent, you're listening, and this news has shaken you up, don't let it shake you up. If you're a buyer or a seller out there and this news is confusing to you, this is when you tap into your local real estate advisors. And here at Engel & Volkers, this is what we do. We guide you through this stuff. There's a lot of noise out there always with anything and everything that we do, especially when you're making a decision to buy or sell a property. So, Paul, the concerns that I see coming up, you're correct, are the appraisal. Okay. So let's say if a buyer is going in purchasing a house for, you know, $500,000 and they have, you know, $15,000 in closing cost credits on there, you know, the $10,000 covers, you know, your taxes, your escrow, you know, which would be your taxes, insurance, your attorney fees, it covers your mortgage origination fee, maybe some of that. And then let's say you got $5,000 left that would cover part of the brokerage commission. Okay. If that property only appraises, say, at 500, now we're left with that 15 grand where that buyer might need those closing costs to be moving forward. Of course, that could be a snag in the line, at which point the consumer, the buyer, and the seller are going to have to depend on maybe meeting somewhere. Maybe the buyer has to take some money out of pocket. Maybe they can get a gift from family or friends, right? In some cases.
Yeah. Yep.
And maybe the seller lowers their price on the other end, as typically they would be, you know, the way it used to be, I guess. They and it's always negotiable, they'd be paying some of that commission anyways, that commission. So it's kind of just literally a paper shuffle. The way that the news is presenting this, Paul, is that the sellers are going to save money when that is, and consumers are going to save money and prices on houses are going to lower because of this. That is the most false information out there. Real estate commissions don't drive pricing. That is silly. Supply and demand in market terms supply cause pricing to increase or decrease. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, correct. I mean, you're absolutely right there. I mean, right now in this market with inventory as low as it is currently, and with the demand so high and the spring market coming, and, you know, I think that as much as this is something we have to be, you know, aware of, by the same token, it's not going to affect sales. It's not going to affect pricing. I still think we're going to have a great, strong, you know, market in quarter three and four of 24. So all these things are going to, you know, not hurt us. It's just to find a way, the path of least resistance. I think gift funds are going to become more you know, more involved in this, you know, getting gift funds from family and friends. Also, I think there's ways that we negotiate with listing agents as well. And I do think it'll all come together. And the government and everyone realizes this, that we have to collectively work to make this, you know, as flawless and as seamless as possible.
Agreed. And you know what, if you're just tuning in, this is the Despirito Team Real Estate Program. And this segment, we've got on Paul Salcone of North Point Bank. And we're talking about that topic that's all over the news right now, the National Association of Realtors settlement about compensation and about how it's, you know, put out there on MLS, the multi-listing service, how realtors are going to be able to portray this to the consumer. And ultimately, just to kind of recap, really not much is changing because number one, the news is not necessarily telling you that compensation has always been negotiable. Okay, it just always has. And number two, you know, we were talking about how the news is portraying that prices of real estate are going to fall now because realtors are going to be making less compensation on the properties. That is entirely false because the amount of compensation is likely to stay the same, if not increase, between the parties involved. You know, that's kind of what we see happening here. And also supply and demand in terms of the market dictate pricing, not compensation. I mean, that's absolutely silly. So there's a lot going on. And as this settlement gets closer to a final decision, as the Department of Justice either accepts it or rejects it, we will know more of the terms of this and we will educate you on it. But Paul came on the program today to talk about different things you can do in lending, right? So if you have any questions, if you're a real estate agent specifically or a buyer, you're going to want to call Paul Salcone of North Point Bank at 401-419-9291. And Paul, let me tell you, he's an all-star. I've recommended family, friends, used him personally. He's fantastic. He knows his business. He's been doing this. He's got an accounting degree, right? You got an accounting
degree? I do.
So he knows numbers. He knows the market. 401-419-9291. Paul, any closing remarks?
I think, you know, as you mentioned, as we get closer to that July, assuming all this comes to fruition, I think then more will be, you know, more light will be shed in this. I think everyone will get more acclimated. I think that collectively everyone is going to have to budge a little bit to make this work, but I do think it'll be fine in the end. We're just overreacting initially.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, I want to leave everybody with this is that the best thing you can do is just wait it out, see what happens, collect all the information, meet with a local real estate advisor, a lender, people that are on top of this and understand that. And you know, I want to leave the consumers with this. The proposed settlement, again, if accepted, states that by July in the multi-listing service, the realtors will no longer be able to put the buyer side compensation, but that doesn't mean that you are not offering buyers compensation. That is entirely up to the seller, okay? And every single seller situation is going to be unique and different. And you should really look at all of your options, okay, and choose what is best for you. You don't make a knee-jerk decision without understanding the implications of everything with it, regardless of who you use in real estate, me or somebody else. You need to see the whole picture to understand how it affects your bottom line, because your bottom line and your ease of transaction is going to be the most important thing. And that could go either way. Okay. So good stuff, Paul. Thank you so much for jumping on.
It's a hot topic. We'll have more discussions about, I assume, going forward.
Yeah, absolutely, Paul. Appreciate you very much. Good stuff. Thanks for tuning in to the Despirito Team Real Estate Show. This segment has been powered by Paul Salcone of North Point Bank. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Hey, welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is your show all about real estate. And you know what? The best part about being plugged into this show is you're plugged into our network at Engel & Volkers. And you may say, hey, what is Engel & Volkers, right? You may have listened to the radio show. That's our brokerage here. It's a worldwide brokerage. We are global, 33 countries, 5 continents, 1,100 plus locations, and 17,000 advisors all over God's green earth, which is pretty fantastic. But we don't just hire anybody with a pulse like many of the other brokerages. We hire folks with the three ingredients of the best real estate advisors, and that's confidence, exclusivity, and passion. And I've got none other than one of the all-stars out of our Boston shop, Nate Rock. Now, Nate Rock runs the Broadway Group, and he's got over $100 million in production over the last few years, which is quite impressive, especially in the competitive landscape that we're in right now. And Nate brings a wealth of knowledge about condominiums and all types of real estate. So we've invited him on today to talk about the Boston market because, number one, it fuels the Rhode Island market. And number two, we've got so many clients that move from here to Boston as well. So, Nate, pleasure to have you on.
Hey, thanks for the time, Emilio. I really appreciate the kind introduction.
No, man, you're welcome. I mean every single word, or else I would have not invited you on the program. So Nate, a couple of things, right, for our listeners, right? Some people contemplating moving to Boston. I want to know, as somebody who has the boots on the ground every day in the streets, out there shaking hands, kissing babies, what are three things you need to experience in Boston when you're there?
Ooh, good question, Emilio. I think if you've never been to the city and you've never experienced the city before, I think you should do some quintessential Boston things like catching a ball game at Fenway Park. I mean, one of the most historic ballparks in the whole entire country. So definitely catch a game at Fenway Park, watch a home run, hang out at the Green Monster and drink some beers. View Boston is a new thing at the top of the Prudential Center. And it's really cool viewpoint, vantage point of the entire city. I would highly recommend getting up on there. And like I said, along the, you know, Boston is a very historic place. Boston has a huge historic heritage. And I think if you're going to come here, you've never been here before, in order to appreciate everything that's new and cool, I think you should really appreciate everything that's old. They do these on and off tours that you can kind of have a guide and jump on and off the bus and see all the quintessential old things that are in the city, like the State House, all the old row houses, experience different neighborhoods. But I really would deep dive into the history and the culture of the city before you start doing everything that's new and shiny. So those are some things that I recommend.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So I didn't know about View Boston. That's fantastic. I better check that out. Now, as far as like the demographics moving into Boston, right? Like who's moving into, let's say, I know you've got several sections of Boston, right? But what crowd or what group of folks, like, you know, professionals or you know, traditional homeowners, or, you know, maybe you got certain demographics moving into Boston, like who are they and why are they moving to Boston?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of reasons to move to Boston. I mean, it's one of the bigger cities on the East Coast. Boston has and definitely has always been a transient city and always will be, with people constantly coming and going. And that's why our market has really done so well. We have major headquarters here. Major corporations have massive headquarters here. State Street, Bain Capital. So those companies being headquarters here, they have massive numbers of employees. So people constantly coming for internships, for job changes. We have also some of the top universities in the entire world. I mean, we house Harvard University, which competes against anything in the entire world. So we have a lot of people that come here for those universities, MIT, Wentworth, BC, BU. So we have a lot of people that come for the universities. And then a lot of people that we move here are specifically for the healthcare opportunities. People that are in their residencies, people that are working at the VA, people that are working at, you know, Boston Medical Center. We have some major hubs here in the city, and we're a major hub for, like I said, universities, headquarters, and healthcare. So I would say those would be the top three. And then obviously everything in between that would bring anyone to a major city.
Now, what about the supply? Now, I know supply, meaning the number of housing units available for purchase, has been low across the country in most of our marketplaces. How is the Boston marketplace faring as far as current inventory? And can you give us any kind of an idea of what it should be traditionally compared to what it is now, if it's low or if it's high?
Definitely. And I mean, there's a couple of different sectors of the market that I'll kind of touch on. And those would, for the sake of the podcast, I'd say condos and single families. Those would be the most common. Obviously, we have multifamily and commercial. In terms of the condo market, the city is really incentivizing landlords and owners to create housing inventory. So during COVID, what happened is a lot of the commercial spaces became vacant very quickly. Those companies went completely to a remote workforce. And now what the city is doing is giving tax incentives for those commercial landlords to convert those commercial buildings into residential housing. So on the commercial sector in Boston proper specifically, we're definitely operating with a fair amount of inventory in the condo market. And those are majority upper price points, some luxury. In order for them to turn over the building and make it a profitable deal, then they would have to be at a good price point. In the entry level market, you know, we're still seeing some competition and, you know, not as much supply there. So we're still seeing some multiple offers on pretty much everything entry level. And I'll touch on some single families in the suburbs. That's definitely an area that the inventory is very low, very, very low. Do not be surprised if you pop into an open house on a weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and you're bumping into other people at the open house, especially at an entry level price point. And that really differs from market to market. Definitely operating in a lower inventory market.
Let's talk about entry level pricing, right? So like entry level pricing here in the Rhode Island market is, you know, roughly about 400, 450, you know, give or take. What is entry level pricing look like in the Boston market?
On a general scale, Amelia, where we have, you know, neighborhoods that differ drastically, like we have Hyde Park and we have Beacon Hill, where those would be completely different neighborhoods. But on an average scale, I'd say about $600,000 to $700,000 on a condo scale could get you into something nice for your first home.
All right. And like $600,000 or $700,000 for your first home or entry level. Is that a one bed, a two bed? What typically is that?
Depending on the neighborhood, again, like I said, each neighborhood is really different, but I would say 1 to 2 bedroom, maybe you, depending on the neighborhood, you'd talk about a parking space. In some neighborhoods, you would talk about no parking. As you know, parking in the city is a dime a dozen. You know, people will pay for that for sure. Having a place to park your car, especially when we get snow up here in the city.
That's right. And that's why, you know, whatever marketplace you're in, you want to work with a professional that understands the dynamics of that specific market. So as, you know, Nate Rock with Engel & Volkers Boston is talking about parking spaces, you can actually purchase parking spaces in Rhode Island. I know of only one building, right? And that's the Residences in Providence, in which I've seen people buy and sell parking spaces. We don't have necessarily that type of issue here in Rhode Island, but in that marketplace in Boston, you do, right? So I strongly suggest anybody who's listening, who has questions and needs help in Boston, or is just curious about that market, to give Nate a call. Nate is the team leader of the Broadway Group, and he can be reached at 617-459-6656. Again, that's 617-459-6656. Let Nate know that you heard about it here. Couple questions for you. I want to talk about you for a second, okay? I've admired your growth. I've admired, you know, what you're doing in your career, and this is why I asked you to come on here. Tell us a little bit about how you and your team, from team leader, how you and your team stand out in such a dynamic and competitive marketplace such as Boston.
Yeah, that's a big question. I could spend a lot of time answering that. I think for us, branding has really been one of the biggest things that differentiated us. Because in Boston, we have a substantial amount of agents. And, you know, there's only a few differentiating factors that buyers and sellers really value. And in today's day and age, having relationships with people like yourself, right? You know, we've sent referrals back and forth. Having relationships with brokerages, agents, and lenders, and contractors really make it a lot easier for the consumer to be able to talk to one person and get everything that they need at the drop of a button. You know, in our presentation, we give them all the contact information for everyone that they're gonna need from top to bottom, even the people that they don't know they need. We're really connecting them with those people. So we really provide, you know, that white glove service. And if we're vouching for someone, like if I connect someone to my lender, you know, we work with one of the top lenders in the entire country, Champanosian, shout out. You know, if I connect them with each other, I know that they're going to be taken care of. So when someone calls someone like me, you know, our network has really been paramount, and we can't do what we do without having other people involved. So, you know, both the branding and the network, I think, has been absolutely huge for us. And we're a young team too, right? Our average age is about 27. Wow. You know, I'm going to be 30 this year. So we move at a fast pace. You know, we're going to be there when you need us, whether we like it or not. We're going to be there when you need us. And, you know, that those are some things that we've definitely done to differentiate and stand out in this market.
Yeah. Great job. Yeah, fantastic. And Nate, and you know, and you said it so well, when buyers are coming in or sellers are coming in, there's so many moving parts of the transaction. We literally ripped this apart, the transaction apart, and found that there's about 185 steps that a real estate advisor at Engel Volkers takes for a seller and 175 steps. And in each individual transaction side, meaning buy or sell, there's roughly 52 people involved. Now you need somebody who understands not only the dynamics of the market, but about the transaction in itself and all of the parties who are needed to make sure that your transaction goes seamless and that you don't overpay or under-receive. I don't even know under-receive, I guess, if you're a seller, right? You know where I'm going with that. So, you know, Nate Rock is definitely a top dog out in Boston. And I want you to go ahead and reach out to him with any questions about Boston real estate. Tell him Emilio sent you. And Nate, real quick, we got about 30 seconds left. What would you say is the number one thing that buyers and sellers should be doing in today's market to achieve more than above average results?
Emilio, as cliche as it might sound, connecting with an agent that has boots on the ground, that has that network that we're talking about, is going to be the difference between an average transaction and that white glove service that I was talking about. We are not all created equal. You know, there are agents that do 2-3 deals a year, and there's agents that do 100 to 200. So, you know, that's really going to change the game. And like I said, you know, that network that we can provide and give you everything you need on a silver platter, as opposed to you going and finding it on your own. So having someone on your side that's going to fight for you and be there when you need them will definitely change the game.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Again, ladies and gentlemen, Nate Rock of Engel & Volkers Boston. Nate, thanks for being one of our contributors. We'd love to have you back on again, and we'll see you very soon.
Hey, cheers, Emilio. Thank you for the time. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
Thanks for tuning in. We're going to be right back in a couple minutes. This segment was brought to you by Engel & Volkers Boston, the Broadway Group. Stay tuned. We'll be right back in a couple moments. Welcome back to the program. I'm Emilio Despirito, and this is your show all about real estate. We've had such a fantastic show today. I'd like to thank everybody who tuned in, all of our contributors. I'm really excited about this next guest. You probably heard him on here before. He's actually hosted the program in lieu of my absence on several occasions. He's one of our top performing advisors, not only on the Despirito team, but in Engel & Volkers and throughout the state of Rhode Island. It's none other than Andrew Hogan of Engel & Volkers. Andrew, welcome back to the program.
Hi, Emilio. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure, Andrew. Andrew, over the past 6 months or so, you know, we've really honed in on our buyer's experience. And one of the things, and also making sure that our real estate advisors, that's what we call our agents, for anybody that's wondering, our agents, by the way, are advisors. They take more of a consultative role with our clients. It's more of a lifelong relationship. And we connect folks in business and personal context in addition to real estate. So whatever you need, our advisors are here for you in all types of contexts, which is huge. And Andrew is one of those. But Andrew, over the past 6 months or so, we've been focused in on the buyer experience, making sure that they get the proper service, making sure that their expectations are met, and also making sure that our advisors are able to provide this level of service by being compensated in a world where the compensation and the paradigm is somewhat shifting. So we wanted to invite you to talk about buyer rep agreements. So really happy to have you on here to talk about that, and curious what you have to say.
Yeah, so I would say probably back in, like you said, about 6 months ago, as the fall was heading towards the winter, which is, you know, generally speaking, for most real estate agents, advisors out there, it's their slower time. And one of the things that we honed in on at the time was being prepared for the shift in the market and the shift in, you know, everybody's hearing about the lawsuits right now, which to us, it kind of feels like noise because it's all just part of our general operating procedure. You know, we've talked about establishing these buyer rep agreements. And I think most importantly, it's like you said earlier, it sets expectations from us and it sets expectations from what we're expecting from our buyers. You know, so it very clearly lays out what's going to happen, how we're going to help them navigate this process, which I don't know if people realize until they're actually in it, how involved it is. How many touch points there are, how many people are involved, how many things are going on behind the scenes that have to line up properly in order for this transaction to go smoothly. And I think that we do a really great job at this because, you know, in you hear the doom and gloom about what's going on out there. We're crushing it with buyers right now. We're putting buyers under contract every single week in a down market where there's quote unquote no inventory. So I think that we do a pretty good job of creating the inventory. And right. I think that's one of our best selling points to buyers to give them some confidence in our abilities is we get a lot of stuff done off market.
That's right. About 20 to 30% of our clientele are finding properties that aren't even on the market, right? Through several various sources, right? We've got this massive network at Engel & Walkers all over the globe. And anytime any potential seller in Rhode Island who has connections outside of Rhode Island, right, is thinking about selling, we get pinged, we get notified through our network, number one. And then our network of advisors here, Andrew, and you're one of them. The average, just to put it this way to the listeners, your average real estate agent out in Rhode Island, their business tanked last year, right? They did probably about $1.5 million in volume each on average. And our average advisor was about $4.5 million in volume. And really that those numbers are a testament to show that we've actually created inventory, whether it was new construction, rehab properties, finding people that were out of state absentee landlords of single families, condos, multifamilies, lands to build on, to sell these properties to buyers that need it. I mean, we're really going out there hunting. Andrew, I wanted to ask you a question. Before the buyer representative agreements, okay, what was it like out there, you know, as a real estate agent? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I think it was really tough as, you know, as someone who's represented a ton of buyers in, you know, my, you know, not lengthy career yet, but I would say about 75% of my business in my first 4 years has been on the buy side of things.
Sure.
And it starts with, you know, you have a new lead come in, someone refers you to someone, and the old way of doing things was, okay, we'll just meet you out at the listing. Talk on the phone maybe once or twice, exchange a couple of emails. We go over the properties that we're gonna go see, and then okay, Saturday morning I'll meet you at 10 at the first open house, and then we'll kind of go from there. I think the problem with that is you're not building that rapport right off the rip with them. They kind of just look at you a little bit transactional, and they just say, "Oh, well, you're just opening the door for me," you know. So I can do that with anyone, and if you're not available, and if we don't have this established, you know, guideline of what to expect, then they're just going to go to the listing agent, or they're just going to, oh, my friend's selling, you know, my friend's a real estate agent. My neighbor's aunt's a real estate agent. You know, she said she can help me with this one. So I'm just going to sign with her because she got me in the door at 11 while you were unavailable that day. I think a huge problem with that is it's on the advisors, mostly because we weren't setting that table with the buyers in the first place. They don't know any better. You know, they're new, more often than not, they're new in this process, and they're just kind of figuring it out as they go. So if someone says, oh, I can help you get locked into this property today, they're not going to be like, oh, well, this guy that I talked to three times and met at one property, I think I have to go. You know, that's just not the way that people are going to think, especially in a self-serving world and industry like this, where everybody wants that instant gratification, and they're just going to go take whatever opportunity that they think they can take.
I actually like the way that things have went and are going. I think all around it's a better experience for the consumer too, right? And this all has to go back to the National Association of Realtors legislation that's out there. I'm sorry, not legislation, the settlement that's out there in front of the DOJ, the Department of Justice. Nothing has been reached yet, but basically what we believe is going to happen is that, you know, buyers in some cases are going to now have to compensate their buyers' agents if they want representation. Now, again, this has been already happening for a long time. Commission has always been negotiable, but sellers in the past have felt that they were forced to pay the buyers' agents, which is not true. They were not, but that was how it was perceived, right? So now they're getting rid of offering compensation on MLS per se, but sellers aren't necessarily not compensating buyers agents. Sounds a little confusing, I know. When we sit down, we're going to break it down and let you know, as a buyer in this market where they're going to propose that buyer agreements are mandatory anyways, what does this mean for you? What are the benefits? What are the pros? What are the cons? What can we do to make sure you have a great experience that's focused on you and your needs and is going to give you the overall best home for the best value, right? That's the most important thing. And Andrew, I think anytime you have a more transparent process for the consumer, it's better. We fight for that. We advocate for that here at Engel & Volkers. And that's good news. I also wanted to say, because you were talking about how before, you know, real estate agents would basically just meet a random person out. First off, I never liked that. Okay. And on our team, that is not how we played it. We've always brought people into our shop. We've given them an overlook of the market, what we want. We found out what their goals were, what their needs are. We did a full-on assessment and we gave them materials that could help educate them for further reading if they needed, and explained how our agreement works, how the process works. And our clients leave here, and I know you see it, they leave here every single time feeling like they just ate at Capital Grille, right? They got a great meal, they're fulfilled. They didn't go to Applebee's. They didn't get the steak that's leaving them with a bellyache. They're having a great experience, right?
Yeah, I think part of that too is, I think when people come into our shop, you know, even beyond just the allure of our shop, our shops are sleek. The design is great. The marketing is great. It's all very on point. But I think when people hear our other advisors, it's a collaboration rather than competition. And I think people feel comfortable with the fact that, oh, there's a whole team behind me working for me. You know, it's not just your regular agent who, you know, they never go into the office. They're never involved. You know, we have masterminds where we're constantly working together because we want to see each other succeed. And that's the best way for us to help our clients is for our other advisors to be successful without the constant competition that's going on in the free market.
If you were tuned in to the last segment, we were talking with Nate Rock of Engel & Volkers Boston. And one of the things that we discussed with Nate was the process of listing and selling home, about 185 steps that your advisor is going to take for you. And then the process of purchasing a home is about 175 steps. Now, the thing about purchasing, okay, right now in this very low inventory market is it's so damn competitive where your advisor and you're probably putting 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 offers sometimes in properties before it's even accepted, before you even get an offer accepted, right? So currently right now, there's a lot more work being done, I believe, on the buyer side, a lot more. It's more labor intensive, right? It's harder to get the listings, okay? It's easier to get buyers, harder to get the listings, but it's very labor intensive. So I love this point that you brought up, Andrew. I think you did a great job of bringing this up today. And it's a process. So make sure if you are a buyer out there that you are getting the proper guidance, okay? It's not about locking you in an agreement where you can't get out of, because we have a satisfaction agreement where you can leave at any time. We only want to work with people that want to work with us. It's about having a trusted advisor who knows the marketplace and who is going to land you the home that you want in the community that you're looking for. And Andrew Hogan is somebody that I highly recommend. And really, if you have any questions at all for Andrew, feel free, give him a call direct. Tell him you heard it here, 401-588-2002. Again, 401-588-2002. Andrew specializes working with buyers in this marketplace, does a fantastic job with multifamilies, condos, single families, and land. 401-588-2002. Andrew, thanks so much for joining us today, man.
Milo, thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
Great stuff today. Thank you. We're going to be back here in a couple minutes with riblogger.com's top 5 events. This segment has been powered by the Despirito Team Reels. By the Despirito Team. I almost said the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, but that's what you're tuned into. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. On the line with us, we've got Jennifer Jaber of riblogger.com, and she's here each and every week talking about the top 5 events happening here in the Ocean State. You're going to want to pay attention to this website. If you haven't visited it, Make sure you do. There's so much going on there. There's a lot of events for all walks of life. We're excited to have you on, Jennifer. What's happening?
Thanks for having me. I'm just noticing as I'm looking them over that more than half of the events, or 3 out of 5, are outdoor events. So that's exciting because we're heading into that time of year.
Love it.
And they're even outdoor themed if they're not outdoors. April 6th and 7th is the Bloom Flower Home Market at the Waterfire Arts Center. Celebrate spring with 85 plus vendors of indoor and outdoor plants, home decor, art, and so much more. General admission tickets include a drink ticket that can be redeemed on site for a single small beer or a cocktail pour. There's also non-alcoholic and drinks and coffee available. And that's from 12 to 6 on April 6th and 7th. April 6th to April 28th, the Daffodil Days return to many locations in Newport. So brace yourself for an explosion of floral euphoria as thousands and thousands, maybe even into the millions of daffodils come to life all over Newport and beyond. Events include road races, a window storefront decorating contest, a bike rally, a doggy parade, garden tours, concerts, live music, a driving Miss Daffodil classic car parade, and much more. You can take pictures, just roam around and have fun. So again, that's April 6th to April 28th, more or less, depending on the blooming of the daffodils, which is a little bit unpredictable.
Love it.
Now until May 15th, well, more or less now, it's a little, again, dependent on the actual blooming, but is the Wicked Tulips You Pick event in Exeter at Wicked Tulips Farm. Tiptoe through the more than 450,000 budding tulips. Bring home a fresh picked bouquet of the most beautiful tulips. Bring your camera along to capture the experience. It's open rain or shine, and online tickets must be purchased in advance. And that's at wickedtulips.com. This sounds exciting for really everyone in the family. I'm actually interested in it, but I know kids will probably really love this one too. Dragons and mythical creatures are at Roger William Park Zoo April 7th to August 11th. So there's a lot of time to get there. Learn about the myths and legends that have shaped these captivating creatures. Discover the scientific inspirations behind their fantastic forms. Bring your imagination to life and immerse yourself in the excitement of witnessing these mythical creatures as they are actually in action. They move, they roar, they even breathe smoke. There'll be unicorns, serpents, the Kraken, and much more. So it sounds like a pretty exciting event. Last but not least, for the Harry Potter fans, Saturday, April 6th, Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire in concert with Rhode Island Philharmonic Orchestra at 1 and at 7. So get ready to fight dragons, swim with mer people, and find out just who put Harry's name in the Goblet of Fire. So rediscover the magic of Harry Potter on this musical journey at the PPAC.
And again, if you haven't visited riblogger.com lately or at all, you're going to want to do that. If you own a local business or service and you want to get in front of the eyes of thousands and thousands of folks coming into the Rhode Island marketplace, or that currently live here, you can do that. Go ahead and check them out at riblogger.com and find out more about some advanced advertising opportunities. Jennifer, thanks so much for jumping on today.
Thank you for having me. Have a great week.
You're very welcome. Our pleasure. Thank you. You too. Great show today. I'd like to thank Jennifer Jaber of riblogger.com. I'd also like to thank Paul Salcone of North Point Bank for giving us some great education today. Nate Rock of Engel & Volkers Boston, the Broadway group, and Andrew Hogan of Engel & Volkers East Greenwich. Both advisors came on to talk about the local marketplaces, which is so important. And also, we'd love to thank Scarpetti jumping over from WHJY to go ahead and produce this show for us, filling in for Ethan, our regular producer here. So great job, Scarpetti. Thank you so much to our listeners. God bless you. We hope you have a fantastic Easter today. Spend the time with the family. Eat as much as you can. Don't drink and drive. And have a great weekend. We love you. We'll see you back here on the Despirito Team Real Estate Show, brought to you by Engel & Volkers.